Blog Talk Radio. It took more than 100 years to officially recognize women in America, but it's been well worth the wait. Women have contributed to all facets of society and now make up more than half the population in the country. And even though we celebrate our accomplishments, trials, and tribulations in the United States, we also celebrate the value and significance of women all over the world. Most importantly, those women who toil and untirelessly keep their families together, often making less than $1 a day. Those women deserve dignity, respect, and support from the rest of us. We'll also applaud the achievements of our veteran women, including Patricia Odom, who was honored in last week's Black History Breakfast. Women, we celebrate you on today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening to the show. It's been 2 weeks because we had a very, very busy week last Thursday. That was the 23rd Empowerment Breakfast, now tailored toward Black History Month, that my company has produced. And it was a really successful event. We had over 225 people who attended. We actually had to recreate the room a bit because of our overflow crowd. It was an amazing, historic, really meaningful event, and I thank everyone who participated, all of our sponsors, and I think I'll very quickly read our sponsor list off. We definitely thank Liberty Mutual, Amtrak, the Colonnade Hotel, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, Partners Healthcare, JetBlue, Commonwealth Compact, BASME, and our advertiser, the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. And definitely thank all of our table sponsors who participated. And also thank Eastern Bank, who came in at the last minute. Our table sponsors included Lesley University, Bentley University, Boston Medical Center, Harvard University, Bethel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Boston, the Iron Workers Union Local 7, Eversource, Children's Services of Roxbury, the Concern Black Men of Massachusetts, Vanguard Parking and General Services, and the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau. Many thanks to all of our sponsors, all of our participants, our advertiser, and everyone who played a very important role in our 23rd Black History Breakfast. I'm excited because later in the show we're going to actually profile Patricia Odom, who was honored last week because of her participation in our military, and we'll tell you exactly the role that she played. But it was just really an exciting, wonderful event. We gave away prizes thanks to JetBlue, 2 round-trip tickets anywhere they fly. They fly outside of the United States as well. And so we had a lucky winner there. We also had a wonderful winner for our 2 round-trip Acela tickets on Amtrak between Boston and Washington, D.C. We also thank Don West and Ken Cooper, who had a booth there. They have produced a wonderful book. We've talked about them on the show before, Portraits of Purpose, which chronicle the lives of some really celebrated people, primarily here in the greater Boston area. They donated a couple of their books. We gave them away, and we gave away memberships to the Multicultural Symposium Series and also a DVD for Red Tails. Red Tails tells the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, most specifically those pilots that ultimately went over to Europe and participated in the military campaigns during World War II. So we had a great time. We honored my dad and my sister-in-law's father. My father is Wilson Copeland, and I've talked about him. I talked about him on the last show. And also Dr. James Franklin Fitzgerald, who is the father of Deborah Fitzgerald Copeland. He was one of the few, very few black doctors in the Korean War who was part of a MASH unit. So you've seen the television program MASH. Well, he actually was a MASH doctor and also won a Purple Heart as well. So, again, you can read about all of the biographical profiles of the 24 people who we honored, all the airmen, the men and the women who have served in combat duty, have served as machinists in technical support positions, who are currently serving in the military. All of their biographical profiles are on the blog section of MSSConnect.com. That's MSSConnect.com. You can go there and read about them. You can go to the today's blog, tellcarol.com, go to that website, and then go to the blog section. And we have additional information that I'm going to talk through about Women's History Month and a link to Patricia Odom's biographical profile at today's blog. And today is March 10th, if you're listening, March 10th, 2016, if you're listening after the fact. We have many people who listen to the show after the fact, and you can go to the blog, and you can link to the various conversations that we're going to have today. So I thank everybody. I thank all who participated. It is an incredible production. It takes a lot to do this. All the volunteers, Ramu and the crew, entertainment, did a great job. Our photographer actually was Lee Francois, because Michael Haley, unfortunately, was ill and couldn't make it. All of our volunteers who participated, and I need to read their names too, Michelle and Alberto Montero, that's my daughter and son-in-law, Denise Willis-Turner, Patricia Spence, Gladys Williams, Audrey Jones, and I've mentioned Lee Francois. So it was wonderful. And it's always such a wonderful ramp-up feeling, because there's just a lot of work that has to be done to put that together. But then when it's over with, I can just kick my heels up and say, ah, amen. We move on to the next one. Our next breakfast will be next March. We were having them in March now because of the unpredictability of the weather in February. And March seems to be a good time, so we're probably going to have it around the middle of March, around the 16th of March of next year. We'll announce that date in the coming months. But our next event will be Thursday, November 3rd. That is our multicultural conference. That will be our 10th conference. Back at UMass Boston, it will be an electrifying, wonderful event, day-long event, again, where we really drill down deeply into discussions about diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusion, and the gamut of those topics. We certainly, by then, are going to know who our next president is, will be in the United States. And with that said, because that's 2 days after the election, Election Day will be November 1st, and so we will we will then have an opportunity to figure out who our president is and govern ourselves accordingly. But I would encourage everyone to vote. Everyone to vote. Now, at my MSSConnect.com website on the homepage, very easy to get to, MSSConnect.com homepage, you can find out every single primary that is going to take place, all the remaining primaries. Now, obviously, we've had quite a few. There are some that are going to take place next Tuesday, some this weekend as well. But on that homepage at the bottom, you can click through and get an entire list of all of the upcoming caucuses, all the upcoming primaries, whether you're located in different parts of the world. You can participate if you're an American citizen. Those dates are also listed. But all of that information you can find on this list that is posted at MSSConnect.com. I would encourage you to get the list printed out, because you may have friends, colleagues, relatives who need to vote. I tire of people who claim that their vote doesn't count, and they have a whole host of complaints, just a long list of complaints, but they don't bother to vote. To me, that's waste. That's a real waste. So if you can vote, if you are registered to vote, clearly you have to register to vote in every state, so go to your town hall or call, you can get that information. And also encourage our young, our new American citizens who are for whatever reason, reluctant to vote. I'm now realizing there's a whole cast of people who are recent American citizens. They may have been in the United States for a number of years. They've just recently gotten their citizenship, maybe over the last 5 years or so. I've talked to them, and because some of the questions and the number of candidates are confusing, or maybe they don't see anybody who they're familiar with or they like, they don't vote. And I would encourage you to be a committee of one, to study all the issues, to figure out what your ballot looks like, and encourage those who work in nail shops, work in grocery stores, work in 24-hour stores, convenience stores. Oftentimes, those immigrants are very hardworking entrepreneurs. They are American citizens. They pay taxes, and they do not vote. Or they only vote every 4 years because they say, okay, I'll vote for the president in November, but all the others I don't really understand. So I would encourage you to go out to them when you're getting your nails done, when you're getting your gas pumped and you're doing a transaction with somebody behind the counter or somebody else whose store you go to. And I'm saying this because these are many of the individuals who are entrepreneurs and they don't vote. Of all ethnicities, encourage them to vote and the importance of voting and why their vote really matters. So I'll be harping on this for quite some time, and we are going to continue to do shows on voting and the significance of it because this year, as you know, very volatile primary season. Some of the conversations and things that are being said are shameful and should not be said by the presidential candidates. You vote for the candidate of your choice regardless of if they're going to win or not. It's just a matter of you voting and participating that makes the critical difference. So I would encourage you to do that. And, again, we'll have elections coming up this weekend and next week, a whole bank of states that are voting, and that will continue on until June. So enough said. We would love for you to take care of that. Well, the origin of Women's History Month really goes back more than 100 years, as I had mentioned earlier. It just depends on, you know, who you're talking about and who is responsible for it. And I even have a piece here from the Census Bureau that says the roots of National Women's History Month go back to March 8, 1857, when women from the New York City factory staged a protest over working conditions. Now, there's a companion piece that goes with this, and this is called International Women's Day. And, again, a lot of this information I have at today's blog, you can link through it, you can read it on your own. But International Women's Day was first observed in 1909, but it wasn't until 1981 when Congress ultimately established National Women's History Week to be commemorated the second week in March. And then in 1987, as with many of the week of holidays, including Negro History Week, which became Black History Month, and here we have the same thing happening with Women's History Week becoming Women's History Month, finally became a month in 1987. And then ever since then, Congress has passed a resolution for Women's History Month, and the president has issued a proclamation. So that's the formalities of how this history started. But it goes back, and the origins probably go back much farther than 1857. But around that time, you were at the ramp-up of the Industrial Revolution, that revolution starting in Europe in the late 1700s, and then finally coming over to the United States with all the factory work that was beginning, and you're having many people who are leaving their farms and coming into the city trying to get work, and you had women working alongside children. And finally, children's laws were passed in the early 1900s, because for many children, they were working and not going to school because they had to bring money home for the family. So there's lots of history about that time period and that era. But that's really the origin for Women's History Month. So 1857, working conditions were terrible. Many of these women were working 12 and 14 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. No insurances. Forget about that. No insurances, no Social Security, none of the creature comforts that we're used to today. You got sick, you were in trouble. So all of that led ultimately to unions. It also led to other protective forces, not only for women, but other individuals. So you get up to the early 80s, and then you have a coalition of organizations who are working on behalf of women so that women can ultimately be recognized. One of the organizations that played a very important part is the National Women's History Project, and they were founded in Santa Rosa, California in 1980. Again, I have the link at the website, tellcarol.com, today's blog. You can get a link to all of this information that I'm sharing with you. I have actually talked to Molly Murphy McGregor. I'm pretty sure I've talked with her. There were other people involved, Mary Ruth's daughter, Maria Cuevas, Paulette Hamlet, and Betty Morgan. These were the founders of the National Women's History Project. And in 1980, they started this organization primarily to broadcast women's historical achievements. And now this organization started by leading a coalition that successfully lobbied Congress to designate March as National Women's History Month, now celebrated across the land. So again, this organization and other representative organizations ultimately determined that March was going to be the week, and then ultimately it became the month. But I mention this because I've gone to this site, and it has a fair amount of very good information that they keep up on a regular basis. So I would encourage you to look at the government web information and also this particular web organization. And some of the reasons why they needed to do that back in 1980, some 37, 36 years ago. In 1980, we were a group of women who noticed that women were absent from our text. No more than 3% of the content, these are academic texts, school books, et cetera, no more than 3% was devoted to women. Girls had fewer role models. Girls and boys and many adults assumed women did nothing important, and this perception needed to be addressed. This same organization that I've referenced, they convinced Congress and the White House for the need for our nation to celebrate and recognize women's roles in history on an annual basis. And as a result, the week of March 8th, which coincides with International Women's Day, I'll talk about that in a minute, was officially designated as National Women's History Week. And in 1987, as I referenced earlier, this organization led a successful campaign to have the entire month of March dedicated to be called National Women's History Month. Again, they give lots of reasons why women are important. I don't even think I have to restate how important women are, especially when you're talking about women now who constitute more than half of the U.S. population, about 157 million women in our country. We have about 320 million people in the United States, so we're about 51% of the world's of the country's population. So very, very important. So again, this coincides with the International Women's Day, which is March 8th, which was this past Tuesday. And let me share some information with you about that particular day. And again, you can go to my website and get a link. This is a Wikipedia article. There are other websites that are specific to this year's campaign for women, for International Women's Day, but I just want to give you a generic information. So it's International Women's Day, called the International Working Women's Day. A lot of this deals with employment and just getting recognition for the labor that women are doing. It's celebrated on March 8th every year in different regions that focus on celebrations and range from general celebrations of respect appreciation and love toward women for their economic, political, and social achievements. And in some regions, the day has lost political favor and simply become an occasion for people to express their love for women in a way somewhat similar to a mixture of Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. But in other regions, however, the political and human rights theme designated by the United Nations, and that they're a strong component of International Women's Day, runs very strong, and political and social awareness of the struggles of women worldwide are brought out and examined in a hopeful manner. Some people celebrate the day by wearing purple ribbons. So that's the backdrop, and you can do your own history. Even though March 8th has ended, it is still important to really recognize. Why? Because in the United States, women on average only bring in about 79 cents to every man's dollar. That's shameful, very shameful. And there are lots of other reasons why, from a U.S. perspective, you look at representation in terms of on corporate boards, representation in many industries where women's capabilities and women's contributions are extremely important but not as recognized as they should be. And then you go outside of the United States, particularly in developing countries, it becomes even worse. I'm even paying a lot of attention now to the trade deals between the United States and other countries, like the TPP deal that now is up for discussion politically in our presidential campaign. That impacts women in Vietnam, that impacts women in the Far East, and ultimately how much they make every day, whether it's a dollar, whether it's 65 cents, et cetera. So the women's movement and how women are treated and the pay issues have been very much a part of Women's History Month, both from an international perspective and certainly from a U.S. perspective. And it is worth recognizing that we have come a long way, but also worth noting that we still have a long way to go. We'll talk about Women's History Month throughout this month. We'll give you more information. Again, you can go pull down the information from my blog today and study it for yourself. And again, look at how women are being talked about, treated, respected or not respected as it relates to the presidential campaign. The women who have been in the campaign who are now out, like Carly Fiore, and the woman who is currently in the campaign, leading the ticket in terms of delegates on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton. So form your own thoughts, your own opinions, but women are extremely important to the fabric of the United States. Well, one woman I want to celebrate, and we had a chance to do this last Thursday, is Patricia Odom. She is a friend. She is an amazing woman. She's really a woman I look at because she has had several career paths just based on how her life has seen it roll out. And so she has gone in different directions, but always from the point of view of self-improvement. She originally is from Pensacola, Florida. She's a graduate of Washington Senior High School there and a graduate of Washington Senior Vocational School of Cosmetology in Pensacola. So even as a teenager, she was on a dual track, both to get her high school degree but also to have a trade. She became one of the first early flight attendants, I should say African-American flight attendants, for an airline that no longer is in existence, Mohawk Airlines. It was based in Utica, New York. And she was the second black flight attendant who was hired in the 1970s. Again, Pat Odom's bio, if you go to my blog, click through on today's blog, you can actually read all of this about her amazing career. Later, she worked for the New England Telephone Company as an operator and a clerk for 2 years, and she bid on jobs to explore different job opportunities. This is the important part from my perspective from last week, because from 1976 until 1987, Pat Odom served our country in the United States Army and served in the Massachusetts Army National Guard. And her leadership and her skill sets were recognized because she became the first black female recruiter for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, she said last week she recruited people during the 70s and early 80s who then went and served actively in the armed forces in the Army. She achieved the rank of Sergeant First Class while serving in the Army, and she was honorably discharged in 1987, and she's a proud member of the 60-plus Veterans Club. She didn't stop there with all of those achievements. She received her bachelor's degree from the University of Massachusetts, Boston. She received her master's degree in moderate special needs from Eastern Nazarene College, and she retired after 20 years with a teaching career from the Boston public school system. As a special needs teacher, she was voted in as a union representative for teachers. And then she transitioned out of teaching, and she's pretty much been self-employed and been an entrepreneur ever since. For more than 7 years, she has owned and operated her own landscaping business. She's very, very active in the community. She served on the board of Clark Cooper Community Gardens in Mattapan, Massachusetts, where she lives in Hyde Park, but Mattapan is also a part of Boston. And she's a neighborhood advocate and supporter for the East River Neighborhood Association. I've seen some of the gardens that Bostonians are a part of, and they're wonderful communities, like Victory Gardens. And I think she's probably a part of that particular Victory Garden in that neighborhood, because I've seen some of the great things that she grows. But it doesn't stop there. This is a woman of many talents. She has cultivated her talent of art, and she now actively functions as an artist. She sells her paintings throughout Boston, and she's a member of the Roxbury Open Studio and the Hyde Park Menino Art Center. So I have one of her paintings. She does wonderful work. She's also a mom of Idrisus Johnson. She's a grandmother of three beautiful granddaughters. And she's a longtime member of Bethel AME Church in Boston, my church, and she is a church greeter. So you see her beautiful smile and her beautiful presence every time you come to church, and she's there as a greeter. She's a Renaissance woman. Pat really is a Renaissance woman, not stopping with one career, but cultivating a number of careers that complement her life, that make her life very full and rich, and make her someone to really celebrate during Women's History Month. We had fun celebrating her last week. We're going to actually talk about four or five other women over the next couple of weeks during Women's History Month who we also celebrated, some military, some not military. But Women's History Month is important. It's important. I would love for you just to think about women in your own lives that you can share with others, particularly share with younger people who may not have knowledge of celebrating women who have done extraordinary things wherever you happen to live, and not just women in the United States. I'm going to actually, going forward, talk about some international women so that we're just not confined to our own region. We want to talk about other women, too. But it's important. Its origins go back 150 years or so. But when I think about Women's History Month, it's something we should be celebrating throughout the course of history because of how significant, how important women have been, women are, and how women are going to be important going forward. So go out and make it a great week or a weekend. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with other topics dealing with Women's History Month. And remember, empowerment begins when you believe in yourself. Thanks so much. Go out and make it a great day, and we'll look forward to seeing you and talking with you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.